Welcome to Travel Stories with your hosts, Tom Kim and Trevor Mountcastle. This week, we are joined by Han Chicago, and we're doing something a little bit different this time, right? So on episode 27 or 28, we talked Turkey for the guys trip, TK, Tom. Mm-hmm. And just because of that devaluation that we had, a lot of people were booking trips to Istanbul or trips on Turkish. And so Han booked one of those last minute things to try to get in at that 45K. And so I thought it'd be really interesting to welcome Han onto the show and talk about a first timer's experience and really one that was driven by that devaluation. So Han, welcome.
Welcome, Han. Welcome.
Ah, thanks, guys. It's great to be here.
We're really happy to have you. You are a prolific traveler on Twitter. I love following all your trips. You travel the way that I used to travel before the pandemic, I guess, when we used to travel real fast. I mean, we'd do 80 hours on the ground in Sydney, and I feel like you're still doing that. And as I get older and now have a young child, we still travel fast, but I don't know how the heck you travel the way you do.
I was about to say, Trevor, I don't think you really have changed your travel style.
Well, you know, when we used to do 3 days, we do four.
I know. Instead of 3 days, do four. You know, you're like, oh, what do you mean? We've been cutting out, you know, our usual like three lounges per airport. We're only doing like, they're down to like one or two lounges per airport now.
It's serious. I mean, you have no idea how much time you lose with a baby carriage or a child stroller going through those elevators to go down and up. I mean, you can save, you know, 3 to 5 more minutes just by going
it's
the escalator.
But two or three glasses of wine, you know, I mean.
And when it's good wine, I mean, that adds up. The funny part is I say this with, you know, the two of you are not very much, you are not venophiles. You are not.
Hunter, you not a drinker?
I'm not much of a drinker. I'll have some bubbles once in a while here and there. I mean, especially when I'm flying, but, you know, I'm not a regular drinker by any means. And I don't know, like, you know, when Trevor's like pontificating on, you know, the quality of this or that. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about, but I'm glad he's enjoying it. So
as he takes a sip of champagne right now. So.
and
for you listeners who don't see, you know, he's toasting that comment just as we're talking.
And I don't even have to be down in Melbourne to have that sip.
Oh, drink. We got it. It's a new record. I think we got it in like the first, like what, 5 minutes of the recording or something?
Oh, easily the first five, potentially the first three.
Okay. Everyone at home, you are welcome. I'm glad you didn't have to wait till the end of the episode to hear that. You know, we got it taken care of. Thanks.
Well, and the amazing thing is, you know, a little bit more background for how I followed Han. And Han, I want to give you the opportunity to chat. But I think you were one of the few people that disagree with me on one or both of my favorite first-class products. You know, one being Lufthansa.
Yeah.
And I can't remember your position on Emirates. But
I love Emirates. I love Emirates.
Okay. So you're still welcome back in the podcast because you at least love Emirates. I think you and I have had discussions on Lufthansa.
Mm. I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Lufthansa, hard product. I'm not much of a fan of. Of course, everyone loves the lounge in Frankfurt, first class lounge we're talking about, SCT. I got to visit once. You know, it was impressive, but, you know, like I didn't get a Porsche. Like they put me in some kind of van and, you know, then I'm on the 747 and it was a nice experience, but like hard product wise, you know, they need to work on that. And I don't think Allegris is the answer because they can't even get that, you know, implemented. So, we'll see, though. I mean, the jury's still out. And I do want to give them another try because the last time I flew them, it was before the pandemic. So I'd be open to trying them again on, say, an A380, you know, through Munich or something like that. But we'll see.
Oh, golly. We have A380 stories, but that's probably not this episode. I don't think we've shared that story yet.
Have we not done that story yet?
I think it's been in the back. In the backlog, the round the world Laos.
Oh, it seems like we always want to drop a future episode on every episode now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's the fun of travel stories, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
So, Han, anything else you want to share with our listeners before we dive into your Turkish trip?
Just that I've been a longtime fan of this podcast. You guys obviously have a great rapport. I enjoy your friendship. It definitely comes through on the podcast. So that's great. And Trevor, I knew you from your other podcasting partner, Joe, on the Saberosity Observation Deck. That was last time I spoke with you, and a recording was right after everything got locked down and I was, you know, in some kind of, I forgot what it was, Candlewood Suites, I believe, near O'Hare. Just kind of, I was going to self-quarantine there until I got the all clear for my wife to come home. So that was an interesting time. And that was fun, though, talking to you guys about that weird experience that we all went through.
I still remember that episode, and it was definitely surreal. It was one of those things where I think you were one of a handful of friends that had tried to, you know, get that one last trip in, and, you know, it just felt so real.
Yeah.
And yet
surreal, too, like as if you were in a movie or something, you know, when you, you know, just it was just such a strange time. But I'm glad that's in our rearview mirror. I mean, I'm not going to necessarily forget it, but at the same time, I'm glad that's not a reality today. So
I feel like that informs how we travel now. I think I travel harder now than I did before. And I think I'm looking, so we have the cameras on, as we try to do, and I'm looking at Tom's face. He's kind of looking like my dog when I ask him random things and he's going sideways. I think, Tom, you're skeptical of this comment, aren't you?
Well, you know, I definitely remember the dark days of the pandemic, and even, you know, as we were recovering, it's just funny just remembering all the little things. Like, I mean, the last episode, we talked about the suite that I was in. You know, I remember getting the COVID test, like, in the office of the suite, you know. So you, like, remember, you know, all the little things, extra things you had to do when you traveled, like, you know, 2 years ago when things were coming back and you had to, you know, do the e-med test and you had to, like, have the printout and you had to have your vaccine card and all the extra things you had to do, all the extra steps you had to worry about, and then have the travel insurance and then worry about why are you going to get detained and stuck in quarantine or all of that.
I remember all of that stuff. I did that in Bangkok, you know.
Yep.
Bangkok was one of the earlier ones to open. Thailand was, and it was so stressful, just like, oh, I hope I make it home.
Yeah.
But it was worth the risk, I thought.
Yep. Oh, man, you're popping Tylenol before you go to the airport just in case you might have a fever. I mean, it's the small little things that you... There's your travel tip, guys.
But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just channeling myself. Like, do I travel that differently than I did in 2019? You know, now that most of everything's kind of back to normal, at least from a procedures perspective. I don't know. A lot of things seem pretty similar.
You know, I chase fewer products. I definitely chase fewer products. And I think we stayed a little bit longer, even on the baby moons, when we were expecting our daughter in 2021. And I know now we definitely stay at least a day longer in most places that we go. Like where we might have done a 3-day trip, now it's always a 4-day trip. It's a little inconvenient from a leave perspective and a logistics perspective, because now instead of like leaving on a Thursday night and coming home on a Monday or a Sunday, it's like, you know, are we coming
home
on a Tuesday?
Trevor, welcome to your 40s.
Yes. Oh, gosh, yes. But, you know, but in the big scheme,
you know,
I got
a couple of years on you, so, you know, I recognize some of this.
Yeah. But I mean, I know I definitely appreciated a whole lot more than I did. I think there were times when I was taking frivolous trips. We did a number of mileage runs where we called them date nights. I mean, we had one where we did a 90-minute turn in Cairo, Egypt. I don't know. I mean, it would have to be super cheap, number one. But like we did the equivalent of that in October. We talked about it on a previous episode. And we spent 2 nights at the JW Cairo. And that felt a whole lot better. You know, for a quote-unquote mileage run. We spent 2 nights at JW Cairo and 1 night in Doha, that beautiful LXR that you get like a villa. So our mileage runs have turned to vacation runs. And even a mileage run being 3 nights in a hotel feels like a lot. But it's definitely
it's too
different
short, right?
Compared to how it used to be. And it's still painful. I mean, I hate to admit it. But I mean, you know, you're jumping from hotel to hotel and doing all that stuff. I mean, there's a little bit of pain there. But I guess not as much as like, you know, flying to Colombo via Doha with like 5 hours in Doha in one way and then turning right around and you're lucky to get a shower before you're on your next long haul back to Philly or Dulles.
I think I'm going the opposite with you. I am chasing the product very much, and it's because of in this post-pandemic era, we are, you know, the devaluations are coming strong. You know,
they
just got the news today about
DNA.
Tell
me about it. Wow.
And
yeah.
Yes, and stuff like that is just happening left and right, and I can't generate the points like you guys can. I mean, you know, Trevor, you just casually talked about in that episode of dropping 140K UR to UA to get into a lounge, you know, Polaris. I'm like, dude, this guy, well, you know, what's he doing? But like, I can't do that.
Well, you know, this guy has to like, you know, generate points for three, you know, so he's on a different kind of velocity than some of us. Don't let me in the same category as Trevor. You know, my
okay.
Points generation velocity will not approach his.
I will just say, with the death of PayPal Bill Pay, that linkage to Flues, I'm not going to be able to replenish those 140,000 points. And with that Hyatt devaluation that we just saw, I'm hurting puppy. I'm trying to figure out how I can accelerate ultimate rewards or Hyatt earning. So that was not intended
I just can't believe how every
really
single thing on
the Polaris
that guy's trip. Yeah. Well, I can't believe everything on that guy's trip essentially inflated in the last couple of weeks, right? Between the Park Hyatt Istanbul, right. The Grand Hyatt Istanbul, you know, Turkish Airways, like every single redemption we did on that trip went up.
I feel like we need a moment of silence just because. So I almost think we need to have a moment of silence for all the things that we've lost since that trip and your trip.
Two moments of silence in a row. Like, I think we had a moment of silence on the last episode too.
We did. Okay. So we've got plenty to talk about today.
Yeah.
Again, I think this is really important because Tom and I, we had been to Istanbul before. We saw Hagia Sophia. My gosh, I was dragging this guy back. He's like, I've been there so many times. I have no desire. And I'm like, come on, we can do different things. They'll be fun. And he actually went along as we talked about in that episode. But you were a first timer. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you went about planning it. And then we can kind of get into your experience. Why don't we go planning, experience on the ground, and then we can kind of finish it off with your in-flight experience, because you had a really cool experience on the way home.
Yeah. You know, so you hear that devaluation's coming. You know, I think that was early February, right? And Turkish has definitely been on my radar for a while, especially when I heard about the A350-900 that they got, the Aeroflot ones that they picked up, the four of those. And, you know, I saw, of course, Lucky flying them and, you know, some other bloggers flying them. And I was like, all right, I got to get on this. And when the evaluation notice came up, I was like, all right, I'd just gotten back from this crazy trip from Asia. But I was like, you know, I could do this, you know, 90K round trip. Let's do it. Come on. I mean, no time like the present. And so I transferred over my Capital One miles. It had just been sitting there forever. You know, I don't really use that currency very often. And I had enough to book it. And I picked the dates, and I picked Detroit to Istanbul and then Istanbul to O'Hare. I picked Detroit because it had a lot of award availability. I think people overlook Detroit as a place you can leave out of, but there was a lot of space there, especially on the, and then it was on the 789, which I think you got the same product you guys flew back and forth on Turkish, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to try that. And that's the same seat, I think, that's on Singapore regional A350s and 787-10s, I think.
You know, as you say that, I think that that is the case. So I flew that from Bali last February. So not last month, but in 23. And you're right. And it's a very comfortable seat, I thought. Your thoughts?
I think it's a pretty comfortable seat for 5 hours. I think when it gets to 10 hours, I think it's a little narrow at the shoulders. I think it's, I don't know, maybe I didn't have enough padding or something, but I was ready for that to be over by the 10-hour mark. But, you know, 10 hours is not that bad, you know. Like, I'm used to doing the 14, 15, 16-hour stuff over to Asia, so 10 hours is pretty sweet. And Turkish, you know, thankfully they have a pretty good IFE system with a lot of options, which can't be said for a lot of the Asian carriers, unfortunately.
And air vents.
That's right. That's right.
And I was impressed with them, particularly from our flight out to our flight back. We actually had more IFE entertainment options. And we were literally, we flew out on a Thursday early morning, and we flew home on a Sunday evening. And they had updated their in-flight options. So I was pretty impressed with that. And we had the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yep. You guys were lucky with that. Yeah. Yeah.
Just about the same amount of sleep. You know, about 5 hours was about our max, too. Like, I think we both, that's about how much sleep we had, which I thought I had a really great 5 hours sleep. But you're right. It's probably a bit of a max to that, being able to sit in that seat or sleep in that seat beyond that amount of time.
Yeah. That seat's not my favorite by any means, but I'm still an upgrade over their 777J seat.
Yes.
Right. So, which I haven't tried and I don't plan to try anytime soon if I don't have to.
We would both say avoid.
Skip.
Avoid.
Okay.
Skip.
Okay, good. And then, you know, I was so busy with work between trips, and I just didn't really plan. Now, I have a good friend. I'll just give you his Twitter handle, LA Flyer without the E. He's a big AF geek and, you know, works in the industry. And he used to actually work for Turkish back in the day. You should check out his episode on layovers if you listen to that podcast. They interview LA Flyer on that, and he's great, great guy.
That's the – sorry to interrupt. That's the French guy, right?
There's
an American guy, and there's a French guy?
No, he's half Turkish and I believe half Swedish.
No. I mean the layovers podcast.
The host guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys are, they're both Londoners, and one's an American guy, and the other guy, I think he's from Switzerland.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah. It felt like he had a French accent, but
he does.
I've only listened to one episode. His going to Pakistan.
That's right. Yeah, I think he has like a Swiss accent, which probably is like not unlike a French one. So,
no, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So I know who you're talking about. I'll go hunt that episode down. That's an interesting podcast. TK, have you listened to that at all?
No, but it sounds like I've got some homework to do.
Yeah. Layer of you guys, Fantastique. That's right up your alley. Yeah, that's right up your alley. Anyway, yeah, I got to be friends with him, and he has family there. So I was kind of like, oh, dude, I need some assistance. I don't really have time to plan. And you know, like he definitely gave me some tips about how to get to and from the airport without getting ripped off. And then at the end of the day, I was lazy. I was only there for like, I don't know, 40 hours maybe. And I decided to get a guide through Viator. And I, you know, found some kind of 9X thing for Rakuten. And, you know, I just went from there. And it was $150. But, you know, that might be too steep for some people. But I just was like, you know, I have a limited amount of time. I just need the frictions to be reduced. And this guide should help me do that. And I will actually learn something about what I'm looking at when I'm there.
No, that's awesome.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
We've been a huge proponent of trading money for time. I mean, you know, if you're there for 40 hours, your time is incredibly valuable. $150, $190 is really reasonable. Was that inclusive of a car, or did you guys take mass transit, or that work?
There was an option to get a car, but I declined. We did public transport in the morning. What did we do? We just jumped in a cab, and it was really fast. It was on a Sunday, so there wasn't much traffic. And then on the way back, we took various modes of transportation, some of which you guys were like very proud, you know, patting yourselves on the back for trying, which I found amusing.
I won an award for mass transit.
I was like, these guys are so bougie. They don't even take public transit. But anyway,
I didn't. I mean, we did stay at the Park Hyatt.
So anyway, but I had a guide helping me take those modes of transportation. So, you know, I'm not much better. So anyway, yeah. So in that sense, it was good, but I didn't have to like haggle with a taxi driver or, you know, like any of that kind of stuff. And he had that card that you can use for public transportation. I didn't get one. So he just uses, and I would just give him cash. And so, you know, it just made everything very smooth. And then again, the guide was very good about like explaining stuff. And you know, there's so much history. You know, the layers of history in Istanbul are just amazing. I mean, literally, there are layers of, you know, ruins and whatever. It's just, I can't even get over it. So I try to take notes and stuff, but honestly, it's just too much.
It's too much. There's so much history in that town.
Yeah.
And I think my first time to Istanbul, I definitely took a tour, a guided tour. Mind you, that was probably like four trips ago, but yes, it is absolutely the right thing to do. Okay, fine. Sorry, humble brag. Well, it's more like, for some strange reason, I keep ending up in Istanbul for like random reasons. Some of my own volition and some of other people's volition.
No, I can see myself going back there for sure. I think, you know, it's a really fun destination. I didn't really know what to expect, to be frank. So, you know, I landed, I flew out on a Friday night, got there on a Saturday afternoon. I went to the Grand Hyatt too, just like you guys. I didn't have the posh, you know, status and upgrades or whatever. You know, I was just in the basic room, but I did have club access. So, I mean, I bought that, but it was fine. So I had some food in the lounge and I took a nap, but I was very careful to set an alarm because I did not want to just sleep away my entire time there. And so
it's
that
easy
Saturday.
To do.
Yeah, no, it definitely could. I've definitely done that in the past. So after I woke up from the nap, I walked around Taksim Square and then down that street, İşkale Caddesi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct. It's a very bustling street. You know this. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah. So this was one area where Tom and I had kind of diverged. I did a walk there in the morning. So I saw it when it was sleepy and nobody was there except for a bunch of cops. The police presence was fairly strong. And I thought the pictures that you shared at night were just incredible. One thing that I think we kind of fall into as a comfort zone is, you know, we had the lounge, so we got dinner in the lounge. And then, you know, after the lounge, you're sort of like, okay, well, you know, Tom's had so many Diet Cokes, he's concerned to go out in the public. And I've had some wine, and maybe it's best not to, not to venture out.
You don't
out.
Want to see me after like four Diet Cokes, you know.
I'm not ready to go out in public.
I know. Wow.
I got to take his keys away after five.
don't let me drive after four Diet Cokes.
So, Han, I really loved the photos that you shared. I mean, I didn't realize it almost looked like Taksim Square, like more things opened up on the square in the evening. Yeah. I felt like there were more lights. It just looked so vibrant. No, was that the feel?
Oh, yeah. It was electric. You know, there's so many people that are all just, you know, strolling along, enjoying themselves. I felt safe. You know, I never felt like, I mean, you got to be smart, obviously. You know, I'm sure there's pickpockets just about anywhere, but like, no, I didn't feel anything like that. No one really approached me that. And I'm sure I stuck out. I don't think there were many Asian faces in the crowd, at least not that I remember. Although I do hear that Koreans do frequently go to Turkey a lot, or at least I learned that after the fact.
I saw at least two Korean tour groups. In fact, we were on the tram and I'm like, oh, hey, it's a Korean tour group being narrated to. And I just, you know, it's like, oh, and this is the Salt Bae restaurant. You know, the Turkish Korean tour guide was like pointing out. Anyway, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was actually surprised at the amount of Koreans that we saw.
Okay.
It made it even more entertaining.
Trevor was the one that got almost scammed, right? You almost fell for a scam in Taksim Square.
Yes.
There was a shoe shiner guy. Yep.
Oh,
and
no,
he dropped his brush, and Trevor picked it up.
Yeah.
I didn't pick it up. I just told him that he dropped it, and he was like, "Oh, let me." And I didn't even have shoes that like were like shinable. And I'm like, "Oh, be nice." And Tom's like, "No, keep walking, keep walking."
That's a scam. Get out of there.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Get out of there.
Stop being
scam.
A nice guy.
I read about that one before I went. That's a pretty.
Yeah, I read about that one too, which is why I was like, "Whoa, I can't believe it! I actually get to see the scam that I read about."
So what was your favorite thing in Taksim Square?
Like Taksim Square, and then the street that I spoke about. It's really hard to pronounce, to be honest. But
you're not going to get any help from us. Yeah, I think we're going to have just as much trouble as you.
I can't like point to one thing. Like that first night, I was just walking, and you know, there's like a tram or a trolley that goes down there, and that's kind of cool to see that. I didn't eat anything that first night. I mean, there's so many restaurants. I just kind of, you know, after eating in the lounge, I just kind of walked, and I just wanted to take in the sights. I had ice cream, and there's like a funny ice cream stand where they like will take the ice cream from you and like do all these tricks, and I act like they're gonna drop it, but they pick it up, and I don't know, they like pat the ice cream on your face a little bit, and you know, you catch the wrong guy, that could end really badly. But for me, it was fine. I took it in stride, and I thought it was pretty amusing.
And this is the traditional Turkish ice cream, you know, sort of taking it out of your hand.
Yes.
And just making a show of it. Now,
exactly.
How long did that take to finally get your ice cream? I'm just curious, because I've seen videos that like, it looks like it's like 3 to 5 minutes. And like,
I think it was at least like two, three minutes. They showed mercy on me. I definitely wanted my ice cream. So, you know, I think they
can
gauge
what they do with all the extra cones. I feel like, I hope they don't use all those cones that people touch.
Yeah, probably not the most sanitary thing. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I don't know.
These are not questions we should be asking.
I know, shouldn't be asking. You should be blissfully ignorant of these.
Don't
things.
Ask, don't tell. Ignorance is bliss.
I think my favorite site, there is like a storefront, I can't remember the name of it, but my friend LA Flyer told me about it, and it's about midway on the walk on that street, and the storefront just looks like a regular storefront, but once you walk in, it's like a series of restaurants within it, and there's a guy playing accordion, and you know, people all sitting on these tables and just enjoying themselves in the night. And I was just like, wow, this is just so cool, like the energy, the vibe. I could really get into this now. Like, I, you know, it'd be better if I had known someone there, a local or something, but you know, I still enjoyed it, and I think anybody who goes there would enjoy it. It's just that positive feeling there. I can't really explain it, but you know, I don't feel that everywhere. You know, I've been to a lot of different places, but the warmth of the people come through even in a setting like that.
And it's all about that vibe and sort of how you feel. I mean, I'd imagine that's even a touristy area, but even in a touristy area, you can get a good vibe. And if you got the good vibe, that's what we all go for, I think.
Oh, yeah. So after that, I mean, I went back to the hotel and I knew I needed to get some rest. I did partake in the breakfast there, which was pretty, you know, they had a nice spread. The one in the, not in the club room, but in the downstairs restaurant. I forgot what it is, or the mezzanine. You guys probably did
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah.
So I'm glad you actually mentioned that, because I was thinking to myself, you said that you paid for club access. And so I guess club access gave you the restaurant for breakfast as well. So that,
it did.
I mean, that's better than just a club breakfast anyway.
No, yeah, for sure. I think that was why I decided to do that. Now, here's what I did, though. I was there for two nights, but I did 2 one-night bookings. And on the second booking, I actually even didn't do it through Hyatt. I did it through Delta Stays because I wanted to get my $150 credit through the Biz Gold card, or Delta Biz Gold card, I think that's what it is, where you get the $150. So
I thought it was the gold, yeah.
Yeah, so, and the credit did come through, so that, you know, that's good. And I had no annual fee on that in the first year, which I'm in. So, you know, I basically got that night for like, I don't know, $40 or something. So, but I wasn't, that second night, I was barely there. I left, I don't know, I think I left around 2:30 or something like that. So I wanted to.
In the morning,
like,
that is.
Yeah, in the morning. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so wow, anyway, okay. Like
that, yeah, so that flight so to Monday Chicago morning, is torturous, is what it sounds like.
It is, kind of. It is. But backing back up, like on Sunday morning, I knew I had to meet my guide. I set it up for 11 a.m. so I could have a leisurely breakfast. And then we were off, you know, looking at all those sites for, I think, maybe a good 6 hours, which I think was enough, you know. I probably could have stretched it longer. Like, I called it early. He was willing to take me to other places. But so, like, you know, we started with Blue Mosque. And then we went to the Cisterns.
Oh, you got down to the, not Royal
Cisterns. The Basilica Cistern.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, went to the Hagia Sophia. And there was option to go to the palace, but I turned that down. I was just kind of like, I don't want to wait too long. The lines by then were pretty long. And normally he would have taken me to the Grand Bazaar, but Grand Bazaar isn't open on Sunday. So he took me to the Egyptian Spice Market. And I know you guys, I think, Trevor, you were looking for spices in the Grand Bazaar or something, but they are the Egyptian Spice Market. So that was cool. The only thing bad about it is that they do take you to, like, you know, an obvious, like, you're the marker, right? They're definitely trying to pitch something to you. And, you know, they give you the tea and the Turkish delight, and they're trying to sell you essential oils or some kind of, you know, some kind of food or something. But I was able to get out of there pretty scot-free. I mean, I did buy something very small, but I think it was under $10. So
you give them the pound of flesh and then you sort of, you know, move along. So what did you think of the spice market?
I liked it.
Did they have that proverbial, like, you know, buckets of spices and stuff?
Yeah.
I know some of your photos looked amazing, but, you know, that's probably just a small smattering.
Yeah, no, that's a very small thing. No, it's not as massive as I thought it was going to be, but there's a lot of activity going on there. I'd check it out. Like, you know, you have to be careful, like, if you don't want to get that hard sell, I guess, if you're not comfortable with it. But, like, they're not nasty about it. They're pretty jovial about it. So, compared to other places that I've experienced, it was fine. I had no problems with it.
I got sent to the Carpet Bazaar and had the Turkish tea and the Turkish delight and the hard sell to buy a rug, but I was able to abstain from purchases. But that was an earlier trip. Sounds like the next time I go back to Istanbul, sounds like maybe we'll do the spice market. It's funny how after like 4 or 5 trips, I still, there's still plenty of things that I still haven't been to. Like, and I think the spice market is one of them.
Well, I think that's the beauty of a city like Istanbul. I mean,
you can't see it all in one trip.
It's so true. I mean, even if you wanted to see it all, you'd spend so much time in traffic.
It's true.
That's true.
Now, when I heard about your haircut and I heard about your, was it a hammam?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, I shaved my head, so I knew there was no point in going to a barber. But the other thing sounded intriguing, although I have to admit I'm not like a big fan of, you know, disrobing in front of strangers. Anyway.
It takes a level of comfort. I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah, we had the wonderful like disposable underwear.
Oh, yeah. Like from like
any
the Thai
fans
first
of
lounge?
The, like the Thai first class lounge, what is it, the spa, has the same ones.
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
But they hand you that and you're like, oh, it's this kind of thing.
Okay. Well, you should have told me that because maybe I would have done it then. But I thought it was going to be like, you know, guys hanging out.
There were, I don't know. I was kind of wondering if we're going to get the Turkish men that, like, you know, hit you with branches or something. But,
well, we didn't do the old man hammam.
We didn't do the old man hammam.
We did a little bit of a bougie hammam.
We was a little bit more bougie than that. Yeah. But, okay. it still felt pretty damn Turkish, even though, like, yeah, there weren't old Turkish people that were, you know, manhandling you.
Okay.
No, it ended up being it was still a good experience.
A couple of Indonesian ladies.
Yeah, a couple of Indonesian ladies.
All right. I might check it out next time. I might check it out. The underwear thing is definitely comforting. So,
and the marble was warm. So, you know.
Okay. All right.
That's true. They didn't put you on like, it wasn't Cold Stone Creamery or anything.
There you go. Get your mom experience at Cold Stone Creamery. You want sprinkles with that?
Yeah, so after we saw all those sites, like, you know, I think, and then he took me to the place where they were doing the hard sell to me. I thought it was just time to go home. I was pretty pooped. And so he took me back to the Grand Hyatt. You know, he took me all the way there. You know, I gave him a decent tip. And, you know, I'll give him a good review. I still haven't written it yet, but I will. And
if you want to share his contact information or what you found, we can include that in the show notes. I know that we've had a number of episodes. Brazil was one of them, where we've had a number of listeners reach out and say, hey, you sounded like you really enjoyed this tour guide. Could you share their contact information? So if you want to share, we'd love to include that in the show notes.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. Yeah, no, he was good. You know, by the time I got back, I still had something like, I don't know, 10 hours still left. And so I got in another nap, but then I went back out to Taksim. A pal of mine, Seth Miller, wanted me, everyone knows him. He was like goading me, kind of like, you got to try this wet burger, you know. I wasn't sure what a wet burger was, but it sounded interesting. So I went back to Taksim and he said that's where one of the places are to get this wet burger. And I tried it. It was really good. You know, like it has kind of the sauces built in and the breading is in wrapping the entire burger. So, yeah, I tried that and I think I probably got another doner or something somewhere. So I had some local fare. But honestly, the food that I happened to engage in or have there was not as good as the food on the plane. But I think that's my mistake. I was just too busy trying to get from place to place, and I didn't make time for restaurants really there. And I didn't do enough research.
You know, that's interesting. We didn't get the chance to have that much food in the city. And that was definitely one of the shortcomings of how we planned this trip. But the fact that you're saying that the food on the plane was better than the food on the ground, the little bit of food that we did have on the ground, I felt was definitely better. But I mean, we had that supper service on the way out, which was barely edible. Mm-hmm. And on the way back, because we were seated so far back, we didn't get our first or I don't even know if we got our second choice.
I think I got my second choice, but you know, it was just fish. So, you know, It was okay. So, I mean, my dinner was okay on the way back. It just wasn't my first choice. Like, I probably would have preferred, you know, having maybe the lamb choice, which, you know, apparently everybody got except for us.
And that was so enticing. For me, that was a disappointment. We'll get to your flight in a moment. But yeah, interesting that your food experience wasn't amazing.
Yeah, I think I just didn't know where to go. And I mean, the doner kebab is just great. It's solid. I really enjoyed it. But I guess I didn't have a meal there that knocked my sock off, but I don't think I was necessarily prioritizing that while I was there. So,
and you're more a foodie than I think I am, right?
Probably, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't mind that label being, you know, cast upon me. So, I think it's accurate. It's fair.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I don't think we did a great job of planning our dining either. So, I think that's probably a lesson learned for Istanbul. You know, try to have a plan or try to do your research ahead of time, because I think we were kind of relying on, oh, we'll find a place and we'll just, you know, do well with what we came up with. But I think it turned out every time we tried to, you know, work on serendipity, it didn't quite work out for us.
It usually does. I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's so many other trips we've had that it does. So, Han, before we talk about how you got to the airport and your flight home, if you could do it again, is there anything you would change, or is there any advice you'd give some of the folks that might have also jumped on this 45K one-way business class and are starting to plan? Because I know even just sharing that previous episode, we've had a number of folks reach out and say, hey, you know, we're going in 5 months or 3 months. So, you know, what would you share with them?
Well, I guess I would say if you are staying in a hotel near Taksim Square, you can't go any easier from the airport than by bus. And there's a bus line called Hava East. And you can just buy the ticket. You don't even need cash. They'll take the card right on the bus, and it's $5.50. And, you know, if you're getting it on during the day on a Sunday, it took about, I don't know, 30, 40, maybe 40 minutes. And then when I took it back at night from Taksim Square, I got on at 2:30. And I was there, you know, lightning fast, you know, within 35 minutes or something. And that's about as cheap as you can get if that's something that is a concern, you know, budget-wise. Now, you know, otherwise, I think you could take a taxi, and I'm sure it would be fine.
And but, I think between 25 and 45 bucks, so that's depending upon the caliber of taxi. So, I mean, that gives you a little bit of a spread.
Yep. So if you're three or four people, you know, taxi is probably not a horrible choice either.
That's right.
But yeah, if you're solo, yeah, bus is definitely sounds like a good option.
The other option, obviously, is the metro. You could look into that. And I think you can get to Taksim with the metro now. But I didn't have a lot of time to think and plan. And if you're going to do that, do a little homework. I think you can figure that out. And I think everyone's very friendly there, and, you know, they'll help you. And it's not that hard. I mean, the hardest part of getting to the airport is just getting out of the airport, because the whole thing's sort of gargantuan. I've never seen these kind of like little skateboard scooter things within an airport, but there were, and you could like rent them and you could like ride through the airport. So that's how big that airport is.
It's a massive airport. Like we were talking about at the previous episode, it's not built to the human scale.
That's right.
It is a grandiose airport is what it is.
Just like the Byzantine architecture. I mean, that is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Before we talk about the flight, any last thoughts on, you know, planning, you know, the on-the-ground experience in Istanbul? Anything that you did that you think is absolutely a must-do? Anything that you thought you might skip or how you might do differently?
I mean, given the time that I had or I'd given myself, I think I don't really have any regrets. I think that's the way it played out, I was fine with. I think you need to go to Taksim Square and you need to go down that street that I described. I'm not going to, again, I think it's called Kadisi. I'm probably butchering it, but that is, you know, you want to go down there in the night and take that energy in. As far as the sights, I mean, for me, the Hagia Sophia is amazing. You know, it was a church at one point and then now it's an active mosque. I mean, it had become a mosque long, long time ago. But I think for a couple of decades, it was just a museum. They didn't use it as any kind of house worship whatsoever. But I think in the last 3 years, they had turned it back into a mosque.
I think it's more than three, but I think it has been since Erdogan came in.
Since 2020 is what the guide told me, but I could be mistaken.
I think the downside is you don't get to see quite as many of the mosaics or some of the other Christian artifacts that are in that building.
Yeah.
Well, I actually had the benefit of being able to see it many years ago, but yeah, I think unfortunately there are not as many that are, I guess, publicly available as there once were at one time.
Did they put the carpet down, or was the carpet down when you saw it before it was a mosque, Tom?
Yes, it was no carpet.
There was no carpet?
There was no carpet at the time.
Now there is, or at least there was when I was there. I'm seeing Han nod as well. So you miss a little bit there too, because, you know, churches usually have some rather ornate flooring as well.
Yeah. So again, that's the layering, right? Literal layering of a city where different histories just are on top of each other. And, you know, it's interesting that they were able to scrape through and see the lower levels there. And it's just a fascinating city, and it kind of has encouraged me to read more about
all the history.
The Ottoman history empire and the Byzantine Empire, you know, of course, even the Roman Empire. So, you know, I'm kind of ashamed by my ignorance of so much of that history. And, you know, the guy was telling me something about all the people that were slaughtered here and there. It just kind of boggled the mind, the conflicts and the kind of Game of Thrones type stuff that was happening. It's just fascinating.
It truly is. And especially when you factor in the Crusades there. And I mean, you get to see those aqueducts and everything.
Yeah.
So you went out of your way, it seems to me, to ensure that you were going to be on this A350-900,
mm-hmm.
this Turkish airline that was airliner, I should say, A350. was originally destined for Aeroflot, and you wanted to fly it.
Absolutely. I don't think I would have done the trip, to be honest, if I knew that I wasn't going to get on that plane. I had heard that it was coming, you know, that it was on the Chicago route, but not necessarily regularly. But I'd heard a couple people had flown it in the past couple of weeks before I'd flown it, and it looked like the schedule was kind of stable. So, you know, I've gotten burned by equipment swaps before, especially with Qatar Airways, and then really Oman Airways. You know, Oman really has burned me, like painfully, like epic proportions of pain. And I didn't know if Turkish would do the same kind of thing, but they did it, and I was able to get on it. And this seat, man, it's up there. I think it rivals a Q suite, in my opinion. It's a shame they only have. Yeah, no, I really think it's as good as that. Unfortunately, there's only four of those planes in their whole fleet. But
and sounds I don't like know you need to fly Air India now, you know. Yeah. Apparently, Air India got a couple of these A350s too, I guess. Is that on your list next?
They were ramping things up. I don't know if you've seen a lot of the advertisements in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, I think that seat that you're talking about is on A350, and I think it's on that carrier, and also it's the same one that's going to be on JAL or is on JAL in the A350-1000.
Oh, it's the same product? Is it from Jamco or something?
The product on the Turkish Airlines A350-900 that was meant for Aeroflot, that's a Collins Aerospace Horizon.
Oh, it's a Collins Aerospace. Okay.
Yeah. And then what's on Air India and what's on JAL is the Safran Unity product. And they do have some similarities. They also have some similarities with the Thomson Vantage XL, which I think Trevor or maybe both of you pointed that out in the last Turkey episode. So there's some similarities, but this product is kind of a unicorn. I don't think any other carrier has it on board yet. And maybe in the future it will come online, but I think Aeroflot was going to be the
launch customer.
Yeah, that launch customer. So,
and I guess Aeroflot knew what they were doing, believe it or not.
Yeah, and no, I think they did. I mean, maybe their government doesn't, but, you know, I don't know. but let's not get into
it. Yeah, it's a shame. I never got to fly Aeroflot. You know, they did used to fly from Dulles, you know, and it just never got a chance to fly them, even though maybe the opportunity was kind of around once or twice where I saw them on a, you know, list of places. I was like, oh, I could fly them to Asia or something. But,
you know, the one I missed out was Transaero.
Oh, Transaero. That'd be an interesting one, too.
I just remember all the mythical stuff, like the hot tub and in the sky and stuff. But that's probably a story for another day.
Whatever, Trevor, you got on the Lufthansa with the bed on the side and plus the seat.
I did not get on that, actually.
You didn't get on that? I thought you got it. To me, that's a mythical thing. You know,
I got on that. I can take that badge of honor.
Oh, my God.
I chased that product, actually, come to think of it. So I guess I've chased products, too.
So I had it when it was supposed to be that case, but they ended up changing the aircraft. And so we instead had our lay flat seats and our dining seats, but they were still the old style, the same style that was on the old NASA 747. What was that, a 200 or an SP? But literally the NASA 747 has the same business class, old business class seats or first class seats. You know, they got the little pillars on the sides and they're like angled almost full lay flat, but not quite full lay flat. Anyway.
Nice.
Sorry. That's going back to ancient history. So overall feeling great seat, it sounds great.
Yeah, the design is really, really good. Like the footwell is pretty wide. It's not like a Singapore situation where your, you know, feet are gonna like be squished together. Plenty of storage everywhere. It's got a door, so you got the privacy. It's on an A350, so you know the noise factor is good. The window shades were good.
Were those electrically dimmable? Was that what that was?
I think it was like a combo. Like it had the shade come down, but then also dimmed. You know what I'm talking about?
Interesting. It was like a hybrid.
Yeah. I think that's, unless I'm misremembering, but I'm pretty sure that's the case.
But the food was good, apparently, right?
The food was incredible. Truly, the best business class meal I have ever had on any airline. And my first choice was actually going to be the prawns, but I guess they got to me late, and so those were all gone. And then they said, oh, you're going to just have the lamb. But I love the lamb. The lamb was incredible. That was like the best food I've ever had.
You're making Trevor just a little bit sad inside. A little bit of him died just now.
I'm a little bit miffed. Now we've got three out of three data points that Turkish, your primary meal that you prefer, your number one, is not going to be what you get.
That's true. You know, I don't know where you have to be positioned or seated to make sure you get that chef or faux chef or whatever to come and get your order that you want. But a 6K was not where, you know, that wasn't it. So maybe 1A is where you need to be. I don't know.
Apparently. Well, so this wasn't the only interesting A350 you've been on recently, right? You had the unique experience of being on the JAL A350 with the brand new first class, right?
Yeah, I was very fortunate enough to get on there. I talked about it on Miles to Memories recently. It was a speculative booking that I had made months beforehand, and it was just a luck of the lottery. You know, it was really your roulette number came up. You know, it really felt like that. And
so I need to ask a question. Yeah. Are you team JAL or team ANA?
I like them both very much.
It is a tough question. Man. I will tell you, I'm on team JAL, believe it or not. I'm on team JAL, but I have a lot more JAL experiences, I think. I've had a really good ANA experience, but for whatever reason, there's something about, for me, for JAL, I feel like they've got some more like unique items that are unique to them, you know, like, you know, the Queen of Blue Tea and, you know, some of the, I just don't know. They just seem to, they have their own like strawberry jam that they grow on the field over at Narita, you know, they have just kind of they have SkyTime, their own juice, you know, so. It's interesting.
I like all that stuff that you're mentioning. I love their mug. You know, so I was talking about, like, I wish they
the mug, buy that the infamous
mug.
Oh, the love the mug
with the handle. Just such a like a.
I'm surprised you don't have five of them in your cabinet, your cupboard.
I only have one. They were, you know, they gave it to me on my first time on JAL, but ever since, no dice. You know, even though I asked nicely,
they must be running out.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. It's probably a popular item. I think for hard product, I like ANA, but the soft product, I like JAL. So I know I'm giving kind of a diplomatic answer, but
A good answer. I think that's a good answer.
Yeah, I
tend to agree. Yeah, because I think JAL absolutely is better on the soft product, and I think ANA is definitely the one that's innovating more. Well, I say that innovating more, except for the A350-900 experience that I think you've had. I think that's a pretty innovative experience on JAL.
Yeah, the tech on there is pretty amazing with those built-in speakers on the headrest. Really cool tech. It's hard to explain. You have to kind of experience it yourself. But it's kind of amazing that, you know, they can have that level of sound coming in your ears without disturbing your neighbors and vice versa, right?
One day.
No, yeah.
One day I'm going to fly the Honu too, which is another thing that you've done, which I'm very jealous about.
Yeah, the Honu is, I got that before the Virgin Atlantic Sweet Spot DVAL. So I got it for $45K. From Honolulu to Narita. Yeah, and that was...
Did you fly first, or what did you fly?
I did fly first, yep. Yeah, that was...
Oh, nice.
You know, they had... It's kind of like the suite on their 77Ws, but the TV screen's a little smaller. So that's about the only thing that's, to me, that was that, you know, significantly different. But again, the catering was good. I love the A380. It's probably my favorite plane, actually, as far as riding in first. And, you know, I hope you guys get on it. I think it's still available with 57.5K, which is still not bad, but
still it's worth not it. That bad still other worth than it. Having to get to Hawaii to do it, right?
Yeah.
Or Tokyo. You
know, yeah. And I can. Well,
but then getting home from Hawaii, which is almost just as uncomfortable, unless you're going to go back and forth from Tokyo and then. And then Tokyo home. I mean, that's what I would do.
That's what I would do. You know, just go back, you know, go to the Park Hyatt, right?
There you go.
But isn't that shutting down for a while to renovate?
It is.
It is.
I got.
By the way, did they make you put a swim cap on when you took your swim? No swim cap?
For me, no, because I'm kind of bald. So, you know, hair, but I shaved my head. So they didn't make me.
So logic works. In other words, there's no hair to prevent from getting into the pool.
Yeah, I don't remember them making... No, they definitely didn't make me put on one of those. No,
I was just curious. I remember them distinctly making me put on a swim cap, but I unfortunately do have quite a bit of hair.
Okay. Well, you have hair like Fabio, so none of us are surprised here.
Oh, man.
You are the Korean Fabio. Hey, so I think we're coming to an end. Tell us where we can find you.
You can find me on Twitter X at Han Chicago. I'm definitely on there. That's probably the best place to find me. But I'm often on the message boards of 1 Mile at a Time, lurking there. So,
and folks, if you are on Twitter, or if you want to call it X, whatever it is, I call it Twitter. He is a definite follow. Whenever he travels, Han, you really are engaging. I think you share a lot about the products you fly, the destinations that you go. You might travel quickly and sometimes, you know, fast and furious, so to speak. But I think I get a good feel when you travel, and it's wonderful to travel vicariously with you.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Once upon a time, I was blogging a little bit for Bougie Miles and some others, but you know, life gets in the way, you know, the day job. So I might get back into that at some point. But otherwise, you know, Twitter is a short form of blogging, right? So that's kind of what I do. And I really enjoy going on these trips with, you know, in a sense, I'm going along with a bunch of people, you know, by tweeting like that. So it's fun.
And we appreciate it. So once again, thank you for coming on. You are a friend of the show. You're welcome on anytime you want. Well, that's the show. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, consider becoming a Milonomics Patreon member and get access to even more in-depth miles, points, and travel content. Until then, we hope your next story is a travel story.